Why is this country $17.5 trillion underwater? I'm Charles Goyette. Well, of course, it's because we spend more than we take in. But why don't we take in more? Well, because there are enough people that recognize the truth of the story about killing the goose that laid the golden egg. Such prosperity as we have left can be put to the knife quite readily by the government taking more and loading, to mix the metaphor, a few more heavy bricks on the back of the productive. Capitalism is a pretty robust force, but eventually it will buckle under the load. But the governing classes believe that they can continue the spending if they just borrow the money instead. Actually, it's probably not precisely right to say that they believe that borrowing is a free lunch, but rather that it kicks the can down the road until they themselves are out of office and then it's somebody else's problem. But the debt is so huge and their willingness to ignore it so complete that David Stockman says they haven't just kicked the can down the road, they've kicked it into low Earth orbit. When I blame this problem on the Republicans and Democrats, claiming that there's no difference in the two wings of the Washington Party, somebody inevitably objects that they are not alike at all and points out just how different they are. But there's very little difference between them in the things that I care about. They are more alike than different on issues like foreign interventionism and war, on monetary policy, on debt and deficits, and on the constitutional rights of the people, on the questions that determine the future freedom and prosperity of the American people. They seem quite alike. Can I give you an example? On Thursday, Congress approved a major aid bill for Ukraine, including $1 billion for loan guarantees and $150 million more in direct aid. Ron Paul says, if you think this is the last time U.S. citizens will have their money sent to Ukraine, you should think again. This is only the beginning. Well, of course, he's right. The bill also bolsters a package from the International Monetary Fund, to which the United States is the biggest contributor, a package of $18 billion. Now, whether the two wings of the Washington Party choose to or not, responsible people will approach spending proposals by confronting two essential questions. Where does the money come from? And where does it go? This measure, in my view, fails on both counts. The United States is hopelessly dependent on foreign creditors, including, by the way, Russia. Money being fungible, anything Congress gives to Ukraine adds to what the U.S. must borrow from places like Russia. And the money is going to Russia, which is a major creditor of Ukraine. Incredibly, the same bill that forces Americans to subsidize Ukraine's debt to Russia also tightens the sanctions screw on Russia. So Congress can't seem to quite make up its mind how to treat Russia, but if you look into the background, if you watch examples like this carefully over time, you will find that it almost always finds a way to support the bankers in the background. Whether you agree with me or not that the measure fails on both counts, where the money comes from and where it goes, you must at least concede that these are questions on which people can be expected to be divided. But not in Washington. The Ukraine bailout passed the House by a landslide. It was 399-19. Not even 5% of the House voted against it. It passed in the Senate 98-2. 98-2. That's about as close to unanimity of opinion as you can get in Washington or anywhere else for that matter. On the issues that matter to me, the issues that determine our freedom and prosperity, the Washington parties are more alike than different. As Philip Dick, the science fiction writer, observed, in a one-party state, it's always a landslide. For your freedom and prosperity, I'm Charles Goyette.
For information on how to order Charles Goyette's Freedom and Prosperity newsletter and more, please log on to moneyandmarkets.com or call toll-free 1-800-291-8545.